Well, that was a really fun gospel, wasn't it? That's just what you were waiting to come to church to hear, I know. Very provocative. Jesus meant to get the attention of those listening to him then and now. And if you're wondering how I'm going to address that, you're going to have to come back next Sunday. Because I'm focusing on Deuteronomy today. But don't worry, there's always time to talk about the hell fire and tearing out eyes and all that. There's always time for that later. The title of today's sermon is Entering a New Reality. As we come to this day of our annual parish meeting, we are not unlike the Israelites who were poised to enter the promised land as described in our reading from Deuteronomy. We, like them, are in a time of transition. We, like them, are in relationship with God, who invites us into a new reality. Every new reality, every new phase of life is not disconnected from the past, but is nonetheless a fresh start. We look to the future as the people of God with hope, not necessarily based on what we've known in the past, but based on who God is for us now, and God's promises to us about the future. As we consider our life together as God's people who call Holy Comforter our church, we can be in conversation with this active living Word of God coming to us today from the Hebrew Scriptures. I'm trying to keep this sermon focused and succinct and use it as an introduction of sorts to our annual meeting, which will immediately follow this service and be held in this space. The journey of Moses and his people is one of the greatest stories. And as we consider it, it helps us think about life in community. Our life together is also about an amazing journey. It's a journey where we make choices, where we take risks. And when we think about journeys, we think about where we've been, where we want to go, and how we're going to get there. And as people of faith, those then and us now, God's part in the journey is essential. And to have a sense of that, of God with us, and to have faith in God as we move ahead, this is the great gift of our faith, a great gift from God to each one of us individually and as a community. The story of the Exodus is a story of liberation, a story of wandering and of dying and of having the faith ultimately to claim the promise. The first generation entered the wilderness with Moses and has died by the time we get to our text for today. Moses is speaking to the children, the second generation, those who had no firsthand experience of the time of slavery and also no experience of the land into which God is calling them. The children, the second generation, are in a place that is not the worst, but it's certainly not the best. As they stand on the plain, looking into the distance, trying to get a glimpse of their future, Moses tells that second generation, "Align yourselves with God. Choose life. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying God, and holding fast to God. For this means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to you, your ancestors, to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob." We hear Moses urging the people to choose life over death. This is the end of a very long sermon Moses has been giving that has gone on for chapters in the book of Deuteronomy. Perhaps it's been so long because Moses is saying farewell, farewell to his people. As we know, he does not go with them into the land of promise. Throughout his farewell address, Moses has been speaking to the people about what choosing life means. Back in chapter 6, we heard that it means loving God with heart, mind, and soul. This is choosing life. In chapter 15, canceling the debts of the poor. And going on, pushing government to guard against excessive wealth. limiting punishment to protect human dignity, restricting those who can be drafted, offering hospitality to runaway slaves, paying employees fairly, and leaving part of the harvest for those who need it. So, as we discussed some last week, right, the spiritual life following God, choosing life in God, is about loving God, praying to God, and also caring for those who God has put in our lives, in our world. As commentator Brett Younger states, when Moses looked back, he saw that life was best for the Israelites when they were trying to please God. And they pleased God by loving God, walking in God's ways. This is what choosing life is all about. What does it mean to choose death in this context? Younger goes on to say that death is a slow process of giving ourselves to what does not matter. I like that. Death is a slow process of giving ourselves to what does not matter. Modern life, he says, is impoverished with a lack of purpose. We rush to meet deadlines that are insignificant and bow before ideas that are not worthy. Idols. Death is all about choosing idols over God. And anything can be an idol. Ways of doing things can be an idol. When the only reason for doing something is we've always done it this way. Those seven words have been called the last seven words of the church. We have always done it this way. Loving God, holding fast to God, obeying God, this means life. A life of inheriting the promises and walking with the Lord our God all the days of our lives. It's a risk to enter a new world, a new reality, a new land. The first generation, you'll remember, was so risk-averse that at times they even wanted to return to slavery, where at least they did have food and water. The first generation never did have the courage to cross over into the new world, to believe in God's promises, but had to stay, in a sense chose to stay, in the wilderness, wandering, where they eventually died. Looking back on that part of Israel's history, we might be tempted to judge them and say that they were fools for not trusting God. But it is hard to trust what one has never known. It is easier to hold on to past patterns and ways of acting, even when time and again the result has not been good. It is hard to move ahead based on trust, having faith. Reading the minutes from last year's parish meeting, which was held in April 2013, I heard in my mind, and I could hear his voice, saying some more, I heard Canon Pat Wingo encouraging, those of you who were there that day, encouraging you to have faith and trust. I heard him naming your strengths as a community and urging you to keep moving forward. You did that. You are here today. You are trusting, you are having faith, even when things were difficult, even when things were discouraging, even when you wondered, can things be different in the future? You've seen some different things in the last 6 months, something new already, some new energy, some new hope, some new people. And the new people who are here today, you're like the second generation, in a way, with Moses. Like that. You've got a certain freedom from the past. Of course, you're in a community that has a past, so that impacts you in a way. But you have a certain freedom. But we're all being called to risk and to be vulnerable as we move together into the new reality of life in this community. Many people credit me with the renewal of energy here, of joy and hope. And let me say this, and please hear me, that's always nice, right? Who doesn't like to hear that? But it is really not true. Did you hear the reading from Corinthians? It's all about God. It's all about God giving the growth. And it's all about what God does with us in community. I could do nothing without you. It would be impossible. I think it's a good match. And that's all about God. And I'm going to say more about that in my talk during the annual meeting. So it's God who makes this possible, makes our new reality blossom before us. We made choices to be together. Again, I'll say more about that in the meeting. And discernment is always part of every choice. And to know that we're not just sort of falling into the future, but that through faith and prayer, we've been making decisions based on discernment, and that's what we'll continue to do together in community. We are standing at the point of decision, looking into the distance, and we do indeed see glimpses of God's promise to us, glimpses of the new reality that is becoming and will continue to be in process, becoming and be. This new land we're entering, we really are just at the beginning of it, and we're going to see what it becomes for us, what God will do with us, with you, with me. And being with God, being here for God, as we all know, means being here for the wider community as well. We're standing at the beginning of a new reality. How wonderful, how exciting, but it can be a little scary. Remember the first generation in the wilderness who longed to return to what they'd known, even though it was just a life of surviving? There's always that temptation to hold on to the past and resist change. And by the way, everyone's in favor of change until it's your thing, right, that has to change. Keep that in mind. But the promise of the new land of new possibilities, when we open ourselves to the Spirit with a discerning heart, with hope and trust and faith, this overcomes fear every time. We, as the people of Holy Comforter, are called to move into a new land, a new reality, still connected and cherishing much of our history, but not being ruled by it, being open to new possibilities as we are led by the Spirit. Amen.